Halifax Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Fasta Mai, good evening and welcome to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Monday the 27th of October. Time for half an hour of the latest news on and from the Isle of Man. Coming up, passengers describe chaotic scenes during last night's ferry crossing from Liverpool. There's more reaction from businesses as Tim Wald approves a 9.9% increase in the minimum wage, and the Information Commissioner discusses the risk around cyber attacks. All of that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and what to watch out for on the roads this evening. As always, let us know your thoughts. Text 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. And we'll start, as always, with the latest headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fasta Mai.
Fasta Mai. The Mananan's final sailing of the season from Liverpool to Douglas last night proved to be an eventful one.
The ship was just shaking from side to side. You could feel the wind picking the boat up and then slamming the boat back down into the sea. Lights were falling down. There was grates for the aircon panels that had actually fallen off. I've got to say, the crew were fantastic. There was sick bags being thrown to people that need them. If I say that 80% of the boat had been sick, that I don't think that would be an over-exaggeration.
Lewis Ridgway there, who was a passenger on board last night. The Isle of Man Steam Packet Company has confirmed the fast craft encountered actual sea conditions that were significantly rougher than expected last night. It's thanked all passengers for their understanding and cooperation during the sailing and has praised its crew who worked tirelessly during the crossing. There's been a mixed reaction amongst Isle of Man residents to the pending minimum wage increase. The Chamber of Commerce has described the decision as devastating for the future of businesses on the island. It's the last chance for residents in the central areas of the island to have their say on plans to introduce more 20-mile-an-hour zones on roads in residential areas. The third stage of the consultation, which covers areas such as Peel, Braddon and Garth, closes today. Further afield, within the past hour, the UK has agreed to sell 20 Typhoon jets to Turkey in a deal worth up to £8 billion. Jamaica's president is urging people to stay indoors or follow evacuation orders as Hurricane Melissa heads towards the island. It strengthened into a Category 5 storm, the most powerful on record to threaten the island. Andrew Tracy is there. He's stranded after his flight back to the UK was cancelled.
We have to remain here at the hotel. They have extended our accommodation, but we are on lockdown at the hotel until at least Wednesday. So we have to stay in our room, and room service will bring around food packs. Albeit quite rationed food packs.
And two Just Stop Oil protesters who tried to spray paint Taylor Swift's private jet have been spurred jail. The activists targeted the wrong jet at Stansted Airport in June last year after cutting through a perimeter fence. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Gromayed, thank you. Siobhan, the latest weather now brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Outbreaks of rain or drizzle this evening with lowering hill fog and a freshening southwest wind. The rain will clear by midnight, but winds will be quite strong. Minimum temperature 8 Celsius. Mostly dry tomorrow with sunny intervals and just the risk of one or two isolated showers coming across on fresh to strong westerly winds. Top temperature 13 degrees. Then sunny intervals and scattered showers on Wednesday with the brisk winds easing later in the day. Sunset tonight was, well, 10 minutes ago, and sunrise tomorrow morning will be at 10 past 7.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company. Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Yes, indeed, and the time now, 5:05. Let's turn our attention to arguably the biggest talking point on the island today. Last night, sailing from Liverpool to Douglas. It was the Mananan's final voyage of the season. And let's just say it ended up being a bit rougher than anticipated. Lewis Ridgway was a passenger on what turned out to be a crossing to remember, or rather forget.
It was quite rough, to be honest. At the start, I don't think anyone expected that it was going to be quite as bad as it was. As we left the Mersey, it was quite relaxed. Everyone was having their dinner. No sign of any trouble, but I had checked the weather forecast and did warn my family that it was going to be quite rough. And then we left the Mersey, and that's exactly what happened. Chaos ensued after that.
Many of us will have been on rough sailings in our time, but did this feel particularly exceptional?
Yeah, this has got to be the worst sailing I think I've been on. It's the Irish Sea. It's got to be expected that it's not always going to go to plan. The ship was just shaking from side to side. You could feel the wind picking the boat up and then slamming the boat back down into the sea. Lights were falling down. There was grates for the aircon panels that had actually fallen off and hit a couple of people. So there were a couple of people, well, a few people just lying on the floor after being hit by these panels.
There's been a lot of praise for the staff on board. I know at a time passengers were told to just sit down, stay in their seats, but was that the same for the crew? Were they just having to attend to everyone?
Yeah, I've got to say, the crew were fantastic. There wasn't as many crew as they probably needed, but the crew they did have were attending to the people that needed to be helped. There was sick bags being thrown to people that need them. I think if I say that 80% of the boat had been sick, that I don't think that would be an over-exaggeration. And there were some people just covered, and I felt really bad for them. So at one point, even me and my wife, because we felt okay, just started handing out sick bags and with baby wipes, trying to clean people's faces so that they couldn't smell the vomit, making it worse. And yeah, there were a few people helping out, and there were some people that really weren't too well. I think there was one or two that had an ambulance waiting for them once we got to the other side.
So really not a nice situation at all. And Lewis, we've seen your video showing the aftermath of what had happened to the cars. Just describe that for us. Was every car affected?
I don't think every car was affected, but based on my counting, I'd say there was at least 40 cars that had been damaged. I would be surprised if some of them weren't written off, but it was a bit mad. We've parked our cars all nicely. They've been strapped, they've been chocked and blocked, and then we've come back at the end and you go to find a car and it's in a completely different position with substantial damage. It is what it is, but I have to say that the steam packet have been, you know, as good as they can be in a situation like this. There were probably about 30 to 40 of us still on the boat up until about 1:45 last night waiting to get our cars off. And in the end, they've called us taxis, got us home, told us to come back in the morning where we can pick up our cars, get the damage assessed, and we can get our quotes and go from there. So that was dealt with quite efficiently today. So it's not ideal for them, but they've made the best out of a really, really bad situation.
Lewis Ridgway there, who was a passenger on last night's Mananan sailing from Liverpool to Douglas. Well, following that sailing, the Isle of Man steam packet has issued a statement, voiced here by Siobhan.
This sailing was subject to a weather forecast indicating a wave height of 2.7 metres in the Irish Sea, which is within the operational limits of Mananan. However, the actual sea conditions encountered were significantly rougher, with wave heights exceeding those forecasted. As a result of the weather conditions, a number of passengers' vehicles sustained damage during the crossing, despite the company taking precautions appropriate to the forecasted conditions to secure vehicles and ensure passenger safety. We are unable to discuss individual cases as we're in contact with those affected passengers and would like to thank them for their patience and apologise for any inconvenience caused. During the crossing, an indication of smoke was detected from one of the vessel's main engines. In line with established safety protocols, the vessel's master activated a working party red alert, calling the crew to muster. A thorough investigation was swiftly conducted and the crew was stood down shortly after. As a precautionary measure, the affected engine was shut down to allow for further assessment. The Alaman Steam Packet Company would like to thank all passengers for their understanding and cooperation during the sailing and assure them that passenger safety remains our top priority. The company would also like to extend their thanks to all of the crew who worked tirelessly during the crossing to ensure passenger comfort. Managing Director Brian Thompson added, "I'd like to pass on my apologies for any damages sustained to vehicles and to any passengers who suffered injuries caused during the crossing. I would like to extend my praise to the crew for their fortitude and professionalism they displayed during this challenging crossing."
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And it's 5:10 now. Will businesses be able to survive from next April when minimum wage rises by 9.9%? That's the question from a number of Isle of Man residents and organisations. Chanel Suku has this report.
Last week, Tynwald approved the increase, which will see the hourly rate rise from £12.25 to £13.46. Treasury Minister Alex Allinson told Manx Radio the decision is about supporting the local economy, employers and workers. But there's been mixed reactions since the news dropped. One outspoken opponent has been the Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce. Chief Executive Rebecca George says the impact will be felt beyond the island's hospitality and retail sectors.
This is going beyond that now. Construction, engineering, it is starting to hit, you know, other industries, not just those ones that naturally come to mind. As Chamber and the members of Chamber are very much supportive of fair pay for workers, but it has to be realistic.
Marge Harrison has been running her business, S&M Harrison, for 46 years in Port Erin. She says the shoe shop had made it through the 2008 recession and the coronavirus pandemic, but now she's worried about survival.
We're all going through a bad spell at the moment. There's a lot of closed premises in Peel. It's only going to get worse. I can't see a way forward because if your overheads are going up, which minimum wage is, everybody that's above minimum wage, theirs has to go up too.
How have you managed to keep afloat?
We've cut our hours. We are now open 10 till 4, so that's cut our electric bill down and it's cut our wage bill down. I've got 3 staff that have worked for me for a long time. In wintertime, they don't put the heater on unless it's really, really cold and frosty.
And looking ahead to April, I mean, Treasury Minister, he said, well, that's 5 months for businesses to plan ahead. That was his words, plan ahead.
How? How can you plan ahead when you're relying on your turnover to increase? Think about the employers, the small businesses. It's okay for the likes of Tesco. We don't need these overheads. If our trade is good, they will get bonuses. If we do well, my staff do well.
Chanel Suku there with that report. It's 5:13 now. You're listening to Update on Manx Radio. The Information Commissioner is urging businesses to plan how they would communicate when confronted with a cyber attack. Alexandra Delaney Bhattacharya says giving updates little and often is usually the most effective way to keep people informed, adding her office will look closely at how organisations handle public communication during such incidents. She's been speaking to Chanel to explain more.
It's not if, but when. If we think about those big attacks from earlier in the year, M&S and the Co-op, although I haven't investigated those organisations, my understanding as a consumer, like everybody else, is that there were delays initially in confirming the scope of those attacks and delays in communicating with the public. And, you know, we can see in the UK, in the international media, that that's had a really big impact on public trust. So, you know, essentially people want an organisation to have their back. And if their information is compromised, you know, people, as I said, people have a right to know that that has happened. And people deserve to be informed of that. And I think any delay in doing that obviously can erode public trust. So ultimately, it's not only, you know, it's not only the economic impact of the data breach itself and trying to fix, you know, that cyber attack that's occurred. It's also any knock-on and residual effect that that has on the business as a whole in terms of how they've handled that.
Is it tough being the information commissioner in a digital environment where the internet is an information machine, monumental amount of data and threats are always evolving? What's your perception of the sheer scale of the potential for things to go wrong?
The scale is enormous. It keeps me in a job. It's huge. But I think when we think about the data protection law that the Isle of Man has that comes from a European regulation, that law is technology neutral. So I think it's really important for us as a regulator to be staying across technologies that are emerging and evolving, like new uses of AI, for instance, that just, you know, consume huge amounts of data. It's important for us to stay across those, but it's also important, really important for organisations that are thinking of designing new technologies or deploying and using new technologies, and also employing third-party companies to design or deploy or use new technologies, to basically put people at the heart of their thinking and put personal data at the heart of their thinking.
That's the Ireland's Information Commissioner, Alexandra Delaney Bhattacharya.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, starting on the roads in Onchan, temporary lights on Whitebridge Road at the junction with Windermere Drive, 24 hours a day for gas service installation work. In Braddon, temporary lights on Braddon Road, just up from Braddon Bridge, for work on the entrance to a new residential development there. In Santon, until the 1st of December, the Mount Murray Back Road is closed for the building of a concrete underpass for the Comis Hotel and Golf Club. Near Peel, temporary lights on Glenfaber Road near the Raggett, 24 hours a day for water main work. And in Foxdale, until the end of the month, temporary lights on the main road near the Ballinas Road junction, 24 hours a day for fencing work there. If you're travelling off-island tonight, no issues to report over at the airport, all flights looking on time as we speak. Over on the sailings, Manxman will be returning from Heysham and arriving back into Douglas at 6 o'clock, so should be on the horizon around about now. Then at 7:15, she'll be sailing back and is due to arrive into Heysham at 11 o'clock tonight.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And we're coming up to 17 minutes past five. Government must not discriminate against those who don't have a bank account when it ends the MyCard service. That's from Douglas North MHK John Wannenberg, who says those who receive benefits and pensions need options. Treasury Minister Alex Allenson confirmed in Timwald last week that work is ongoing to ensure those still using MyCard can receive their payments when government stops using the system at the end of the year. Mr. Wannenberg has been speaking to Manx Radio's political correspondent, Phil Gorn.
I think the Treasury Minister mentioned that some people are possibly waiting until the end of the year before they switch over from MyCard to their already established bank accounts. But my question in main was to ask what provision had been made for those people who do not have a bank account, either by choice or not by choice. And that includes those people who come through the criminal justice system. And at least we can provide them with, you know, the means to source the money. We are going to create a problem, I think, for ourselves. And we have an existing template which works with the MyCard. I understand it costs a lot of money to run. I understand the Treasury Minister wanting to reduce costs wherever he can. But the onus is on him to provide an as good solution, if not better solution. And at the moment, we don't have it. And we're 71 days away from closing it down. So that's why I asked the question.
Were you surprised that the Treasury Minister didn't have any figure on how many people who use MyCard actually don't have a bank account?
Am I surprised? No, I don't think I am surprised. Is it crucial? No, I don't think it is. His department has to provide a means for those people to fund their lifestyle, to access their benefits or whatever the case is. It has to be done in such a way which they are not discriminated against just because they do not have a bank account. We have that now. So if it's going to be replaced, then it must be better than what we have. And it is a lot of old people, but not predominantly, not exclusively them. But I can visualize the face of several of my constituents who are in exactly that boat. And I have told them that I will follow this up. And I have lobbied the Treasury Minister both on the floor, like I did today, and I do it privately as well. And I need to get an answer for them as soon as possible.
Douglas North MHK John Wannenberg there. Peel RNLI has renewed an appeal for a new lifeboat press officer to join its team. Current LPO Carol Hunter is stepping down after more than 6 years in the role. She's been telling me what the job involves and why it's such a rewarding part of the RNLI team.
It's a role that's really at the heart of the station. A lifeboat press officer sits on the management committee, so involved with what the operational people are doing, what the fundraisers are doing, and what the crew is doing. It's a great opportunity to bring all that together and to promote it to the outside community to improve engagement and just remind people of what great things are done by the lifeboat crew.
So looking back over your time, what's been some of your most memorable days out, just to give a flavour of what this role entails?
Well, I was heavily involved in the RNLI's 200th anniversary. I was on the committee that dealt with that on Islet. And that was a fabulous experience. We were so engaged with all sorts of organizations in the island. The post office made stamps for us. Tynwald invited us to Tynwald Day, and we had a big exhibition and special people there. And doing a lot of that work was really interesting because I was picking up more details of the RNLI's history, especially on the island, because we all like to remind everyone that it was formulated in the Isle of Man with Sir William Hillary. So that was my highlight. That was very intense. I must say, Peel Lifeboat will be having its 200th anniversary in 2028. So that could be an interesting target for our new LPO.
You were saying you wish you'd got involved in the RNLI sooner. That's how rewarding it's been.
Yes. Oh, well, indeed, yes. Because I'm very sad to be leaving now. But, time marches on and it's really time for me to go and pass the baton to someone else. But yes, I would have liked to have, now that I've been here, I would have liked to have been involved for longer than I am.
That's Peel's lifeboat press officer Carol Hunter there, speaking over that jaunty music. Now, a new podcast is aiming to raise awareness about alcohol addiction and recovery, created by Jimmy Thistle. After Hours features guests from around the world sharing their experiences and insights. The series encourages listeners to pause and reflect on their own relationship with alcohol. Jimmy spoke with Manx Radio to explain why it came about.
My addiction got to the point where I was waking up in the morning and the first thing I was doing was drinking vodka towards the end. But, it wasn't always like that with me. I did drink socially and I had, good times with it. You know, as I say, I don't have any regrets, but some of the guests and the ones that I'm really trying to get on now are what people would call maybe grey area drinkers, where they're not a huge problem. They're not drinking in the morning. They're maybe having a glass of wine or two on an evening, on a Tuesday. Maybe they've had a good day at work, maybe it's a bad day, and they go straight to that wine. But they're starting to notice that it's causing a negative impact in their life, you know. What I want with the podcast is to make people have a bit more of awareness. There's a great saying that says, if you think you've got a problem with alcohol, then you've got a problem with alcohol. And I think if people are giving up for, Sober October, and they're white-knuckling it, or they're finding it hard to do that, like, it shouldn't be hard to give something up unless it's a problem. But you see it the same, like, with Dry January, and people are like, oh my God, I've got like 3 or 4 or a week to go till February, I can't wait to have that drink. And it's like, why? Why are you yearning after something so much? Because what does it actually bring you? You know, maybe an hour, 2 hours of bit of a buzz and a bit of fun, and then the rest of the night, if you're continuing drinking all night, is kind of lost to the ether, really, you know? What I will say is the thing is that I had no idea just quite how dangerous it was. You know, there's 7 types of cancers that are related to alcohol use. In 1988, the World Health Organization classed it as a Category 1 carcinogen. So with tobacco, asbestos, and radiation, it's up there, but no one knows about that.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
We'll turn our attention to sport now, as Isle of Man rugby club Western Vikings is issuing a passionate appeal for new players to join the club and get involved in the sport more generally. Current Vikings player Ed Knight says they want to avoid a situation where the Peel-based side has to consider folding.
But I think in terms of the Isle of Man rugby scene, there is a depleting player pool. To address that, I think that there's plenty going on behind the scenes, with big shout out to Chris Hattam, who's helping with junior setups in multiple clubs. But in terms of a senior setup, we are our player pool pool over the past couple of years has definitely been depleting quite a lot. There's been a lot of people who are getting older and kind of stepping away from the club. There are, you know, certain people who are becoming less interested in the sport. The issue is people coming through from a younger age. That's what we really, really want to capture. That will help every club on the island.
And I did see a couple of quotes. Could be as serious as the club might have to fold. Is it as serious as that? Is that a reality you're having to face with the way things are at the moment?
It's not one we are seriously considering. I think that it's always looming in the background. I don't think we've properly addressed that as an option. It's never really been this bad, but we've been in similar positions in the past and it's always bounced back. And we've always had, you know, a great lead up into Christmas or a great pre-season, things like that, that kind of bounce the club back and then it kind of slows down and there's less people turning up to train and less people available for games. So it kind of comes in peaks and troughs. At the moment, it's been like a steady decline. So that's why I put the kind of the shout out to say that unless we do something about this as a club, as a community, then it is going to fold. Without us being able to do anything about it, it will just naturally happen. And I really, really don't want that to happen.
It's not just a competitive side on the pitch as well, but the social side of things as well. Just how important is that side of it? The community that you can be part of?
It's massively important. Ironically, with the lack of players available to play for the clubs, you end up turning up, like me, myself, turn up to play for Nomads or for Ramsey, Vagabonds as well. And without that decline, I wouldn't have made friends with all these people from different clubs. So it's made it very, very obvious how important that is to be involved with all the clubs, to get to know people, because without those friendships and without that social side, Manx Rugby's not going to survive.
Ed Knight there from Western Viking speaking to Rob Pritchard, and Darren Timpson joins me now with the latest sporting news. Faster Mai.
Starting with FC Isle of Man, and the Ravens have made it three games unbeaten after a 2-1 win over the City of Liverpool in the Northwest Counties Football League on Saturday. First half goals from Joe Middleton and Dean Pinnington proved enough for the side despite a scare in the 65th minute as the hosts pulled one back. Next up will be Longridge Town at the Ball on the 1st of November with live coverage from Manx Radio. And locally, Peel managed to edge out Laxey in a 9-goal thriller on Saturday in the Canada Life Premier League. The Westerners came away winning 5-4 with Lee Gale scoring the winner in stoppage time. Elsewhere, Foxdale finally got a point on the board this season with a 2-2 draw at Onchan. Jay Chatwood and Kevin Pullman scored for the side. However, there was a very different scoreline between the combination sides. Onchan put 23 goals past the hosts. In the Ogden and Drogon Division 2, Carter Town moved back to the top of the league with a win over promotion contenders Colby. The league leaders won 5-3 on Saturday. And St George's and Maloo played out a feisty 3-3 draw, with both teams ending the game with 10 men. In rugby, Douglas's great start to the season continued with another win at the weekend. They beat Birkenhead Park by 8 points in the Regional 2 North West. Elsewhere, Ramsey were beaten by Clitheroe in the County 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire. They lost 59-12. And in the Manx Shield, Western Vikings beat Southern Nomads 22-19. In hockey, Valkyries B have moved to the top of the mixed Division 1 table after a 5-1 thrashing of Valkyries C. Elsewhere, there were wins for Backers B in the mixed Premier League and Backers Colts and Vikings D in Division 2.
Darren Timpson, Gura Mayed. That's it for Update tonight. Phil Gorn is up next with Agenda, then Chris Kinley will be along at 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. And remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast. If there's anything you've missed, it will be available shortly over at manxradio.com. Have a great evening. Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.